I don't know.
It's now time for The Baseline, a weekly roundup of spring high school sports, including baseball, softball, track, soccer, and more. With your host, Noel Wall, and Olympian prep reporter, Dave Weber. Now, The Baseline.
Oh, good morning. Happy Friday. And welcome to, again, our weekly high school sports roundup show, The Baseline, live from the historic waterfront studios of KGY. Val said, be ready for blue sky. I am ready for blue sky. I'm also Noel Wall, along with me, Olympian prep contributor, Dave Weber. On today's show, we're getting into the postseason, including Tumwater's boys begin state tournament play tomorrow. Dave talked with Coach Lyle Overbay, and Dave, it's his first time coaching a team into the state tournament.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He said he was, you know, he's a former major league player, but he said he was more nervous than his son, Alex, who's on the team heading into it. So hopefully they'll do well.
All right. Another team with some good success. The Olympia boys begin state play tomorrow as well. And you chatted with their coach, Derek Weldon, about the Bears.
Yeah, Bears actually are going back to the state tournament. As everyone knows, there's been 2 years of no postseason for the spring sports, but last time they did have it, the Olympia Bears made it all the way to the state championship game and lost to Moses Lake. So they'll see how far they can go this year, starting tomorrow in Chehalis.
And both those teams looking to play doubleheaders tomorrow.
Yeah, if they don't play twice tomorrow, they'll be done. It's an interesting tournament. A lot of the WIA stuff is double elimination, but baseball is straight up bracket all the way to the final, and this is the Sweet 16, as it were, and if you don't win twice, you don't make it to the Final Four. So they're both Tumwater and Olympia hoping that they do play twice tomorrow.
All right. And it was right about this time in 1984 that City of Olympia hosted the very first U.S. Olympic women's marathon trials. You may remember Joan Benoit won the race here and then went on to claim the gold medal in the Summer Games in Los Angeles. In some special KGY sports coverage, Capital City Marathon was held Sunday, beginning and ending at Sylvester Park downtown. The event included half marathons, five milers, and kids events. Dave was there, talked to the women's full and half marathon winners, Michaelina Dolman and Bridget Hovde, and the 11-time overall winner, Olympia track coach Jesse Stevick. We're going to begin right there. Dave, give us the Capital City Marathon rundown, if you will.
Sure. Jesse Stevick, who'd recently turned 40 years old, he's still the top marathoner in Olympia. He constantly points out that there are other guys nearby that if they wanted to show up for this race would beat him. And in fact, the last time they ran it in 2019, he came in second. But over the years, he has won it 11 times. And he doesn't seem to be dropping off that much. His time this year was faster than the time he ran 3 years ago to finish second to a guy named Roman Kirchhoff, who's out of Chehalis. And the last time he did win was in 2016, and he was only 3 minutes slower this year than he was that year. So Jesse's very consistent. He just goes out there and clocks a time in the 230s, and if someone better shows up, they beat him, but that doesn't often happen. And so he got his 11th victory this year. And Michaela Dolman, who got set, won the women's race, she wasn't really expecting that to happen. She kind of was just out there trying to run a good time and do well. But no faster woman was there, and she ended up running home in first place. And in the half marathon, there was Josiah Prince of Olympia won the men's race. And Bridget Hovde of Olympia just moved here from Colorado not long ago. She claimed the women's half marathon.
All right. Well, Josiah Prince got away from the area before you got a chance to talk to him. You did, though, talk to Bridget, the half marathon winner. And we, if I get myself ready, are going to listen to that right now. Here she is.
Obviously, you won, so it went well, but how did the race go?
It was nice. It was good. It was really hard up at mile, like, 8 to 9. It was struggling up. I think it's east side.
Is it uphill?
Yeah, it's uphill. It's uphill, but all I can think of with every uphill comes a downhill. So, once we make the corner, it's all downhill from there. But it felt good. It was It was nice. There was parts raining, parts dry. So
was there any competition, or were you kind of out in front the whole time?
I was out in front of the women the whole time, but I kept going after each male in front of me, trying to kick them off.
So. How many did you catch?
Maybe.
A bunch?
Sure. Yeah. Bunch. Tons.
And what's next? What's your next step?
I actually don't know. I was contemplating running Portland Marathon or possibly Medtronic in the Twin Cities. So we'll see. Hey, thanks. But we'll see. I don't know. I see the 26, 22, and it just, I don't know.
Have you run a marathon before?
I run 7, yeah.
When was the last time you ran one?
Oh, shoot. Probably 17.
So,
it's been a while. My last race was in Colorado Springs in 18.
How many of these kind of races have you been able to run the last couple of years there? Thanks. Or have there just not been very many?
This is my first one since we lived in Colorado Springs in 2018, yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That is Bridget Hovde, the winner of the women's half marathon Sunday at the Capital City Marathon. Here is Michaelina Dolman and an interview that, if you listen, kind of got hijacked from Dave halfway through.
How'd you do it?
I wasn't worried about how I was going to do it, but I felt good. Yeah.
Just trying to finish. Yeah. We did a little bit more than that, 325 unofficially, and the women's winner. How does that make you feel?
Oh, it feels good just to be done.
Feels good just to be done. How about the core support out there? Did you feel the love from the people on the streets of Olympia?
That's the only thing that kept me going.
Well, congratulations again, Michaela. There she is. Michaela Dolan, our 2022 women's winner of the Capital City Marathon. She'll take home some really cool hardware.
I think around mile 13. My knees been hurting, so I was just kind of taking it at whatever pace I could do. And then when I saw the pace car, I was like, oh, well, might as well just keep up with this. No, I haven't.
How many of you ran?
This is my 5th.
Where are you from?
I'm actually from here. I just live up the street.
Right by your house?
Yeah, I got to see my kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do next?
I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah. What are you going to do running?
Oh, I'm signed up for the Tunnel Marathon in August in North Bend.
So. Okay, and did you run in college or anything like that?
No, I didn't start running until after I had kids. It was just that way to exercise with a stroller.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michaelina Dolman right there won the women's marathon on Sunday, and we have one more bit of audio. This is Jesse Stibick, his 11th win at the Capital City Marathon.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi.
Your friends over here just called you a legend. Are you a legend?
I wouldn't say that, no. It's fun when you can win and there's not any other. I mean, there's a lot of guys who can run faster than that.
Right. That's what you said last time. How did you feel? I think you said you went out a little slower.
Went a little slower, like 6-minute pace. And so was able to go through half in like 1:18-ish. And it's kind of slower than I've been out other races, and kind of just never really died. There's a couple of parts for the hills where I just like was able to back off a little bit, but I had no idea where anybody was. Has anybody else finished yet? Actually,
so you didn't know? Yeah,
I thought Phil had said somebody was like a minute and a half back at like 18, and so I thought they could be creeping up. You never know. There's one year where somebody pulled up on me with 400 meters to go, and I was able to outkick them, but you just never have any idea. So.
How old are you now?
40 this year.
40. So how do you feel about, you won your 11th time. I know you mentioned that there's a lot of faster guys that could show up, but they haven't done it very often. So how long do you think you can compete for the lead in this race?
Every year. It's just like, is it worth it, getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go on 17, 18, 20-mile runs before school and, getting in, especially this time of the track season. It's just like, falling in bed reading kids at night, and you wonder, like, why am I doing this? And it's good. Jenny and I talk about it all the time. Right? It's like it's good to do something really hard and you feel overwhelmed with life, with coaching and teaching and having 6 kids and trying to train for it. But it's so valuable because then when you're done, you can't have the feeling of relief without that. And so getting done, like finishing the race, And, you know, being able to kind of meet a goal is just, it's so much fun. And it takes, you know, a lot of adversity and effort to get to that point. So that's what I emphasize with the track is.
You alluded to track yesterday. You had your league meet. How tough is that to coach all day and then have to come out and run this?
Well, I made a concerted effort yesterday to drink a lot of water and eat some food. A lot of times you just forget about it coaching and realize I'm standing all day and not taking anything, eating anything. And I think it takes a toll. But I was able to stay hydrated. Really felt pretty good. And I don't know, I finished the meet yesterday. Guys won the 4x4, one of the top times in the state right now. It's much fun. Ethan's at a school record and a state leading time in the 800 with a 152.
Simon's best event.
Yeah, no, not at all. And so he's actually scratched out of it at district. So he's just 16-32. And then the guys finished third, but it was way ahead of fourth place. It was kind of three teams, Emerald Ridge and Curtis out right there. So it was a fun meet because they were really competing for it. So
by this morning, though, you weren't thinking about that anymore. It was time to run.
Yeah, so I really thought about the race for fun first. I mean, not, you know, just really concerted effort last night about like 9 o'clock. Kind of hit me. Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Right there, Jesse Stivic. He is the Olympic track coach. He won for the 11th time the Capital City Marathon. And it's interesting how he talked about the importance of preparation a day ahead of time, a time that he might normally not think about it, Dave, but to make sure he stayed hydrated and had something to eat.
Well, yeah, if anybody's ever coached or even spectated at a big track meet, it's where it'll wear you out. I mean, he's running around. I don't know if they had sun or rain up there in Bethel for that meter, Spanaway, Bethel High School. But, you know, it's just you're on your feet. You're going from one place to another. Watch this kid high jump, run over here for the start of such and so race. And definitely would not be the thing you would do if you were. I mean, I imagine that people that are professional marathoners probably lay up most of the day before the race. And he had to go out and run that. Interestingly, the last time they ran the race, Linda Hayek, the Timberline coach, one of the Timberline track coaches, was in the same boat, and she won the women's race. So it can be done, but it's just not an easy task because you're not being set up for it the day before. So no, that's just yet another plus you have to give Jesse for pulling that one off. And I also want to point out to people that heard that those interviews that Santa Claus was not on hand. It was not Christmas jingle bells. That was the teenagers that were holding the finisher medals. Every person who finished got a medal. And I guess these kids decided that it would be encouraging to the people racing towards the line if they shook the medals. So they had a bunch of medals on their arms and they were shaking them. And in listening to it on the auto, it sounds like it's some sort of Christmas celebration going on, but that wasn't the case.
That was interesting because my own thought was I would have thought somebody would have brought a cowbell, you know, for that kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, you know, that's interesting. We used to have a lady that was one of the faculty at Evergreen when I was the athletic director out there. And I remember going to the big meet that St. Martin's would have every year. And this lady would show up and just bang on that cowbell from, you know, and then run to a different turn and bang on it again. So you're right. Sometimes people do bring cowbells to races, but that was not the case.
And the weather wasn't necessarily perfect on Sunday, but with all the events, the 5 mile, the kids event, other things going on, give us a quick description of, you know, what the atmosphere was like at Sylvester Park.
Well, I think, you know, to be honest, it wasn't quite as festive as in the past. I think there was a lot more people there in the past. Now, the last time I was there was the last race, and Joan Benoit Samuelson had returned to celebrate 35 years since she'd won the Olympic trials there. And so that created a lot of buzz around the event, and maybe a few more spectators showed up rather than the husbands, wives, and kids that you normally see out there. But I think it probably was just a lighter field, not quite as many people yet, since it's just the first year back. And actually, you know, if you read the news every day, we're not quite actually done with that pandemic yet. So probably some other people just don't want to go out to big events like that yet. But nonetheless, it was great to see something out there. You know, it usually is, but there was still a lot of vendors out in the park, still a lot of people lining the finish there area and, you know, enthusiastically cheering on the people as they cross. So, you know, great to see it back. But I think probably still a couple, a year or two away from regaining the the massive nature that it once had.
All right. Well, a lot of fun to have it back in, just like you said. We are here to talk about baseball, fast pitch, high school track and soccer, that kind of stuff. So let's get on with that, beginning with Pope John Paul. And they had a rematch of their crosstown derby, I understand.
Yeah, they put another baseball game. I think it's really, I kind of like what they did because they're not forbidden from playing until, you know, the season actually ends for all the high schools. And they were knocked out of the district tournament a couple weeks ago for 1B. But they decided to play a couple games with Northwest Christian. And they lost the first one last week. This time on Tuesday, they won 13-5. Leadoff hitter Noah Ash went 3-for-5, had a couple of doubles, and they routed, as I think I said the score already, 13-5 over Northwest Christian. That let them finish the season at 8-10. So always good to see the really small schools like Pope John Paul have a team sport that thrives, and they did make it to district. So a little bit below 500, but not a bad season for them. And we would be excited to hear the results of their track and field because they're usually pretty good. But the 1B meet up at Franklin Pierce yesterday, which was a four district meet. They're used to the District 3 and 4 by district events, but this was a District 1, 2, 3, and 4 track meet. But unfortunately, whoever organizes that meet has yet to post the results to the internet source where we usually get them. So we don't have those for you this week. Next week, though, whoever survived for Pope John Paul will be at the 1B, 2B, 1A meet out at Eastern Washington University in Cheney, and that will be the same for Northwest Christian and Rainier and Tenino, so I won't repeat that, but that's where the small schools will have their state next week.
All right. And speaking of Northwest Christian, any observations about that game against Pope John Paul from their point of view?
Well, I guess it was probably good to get that win in that series last week. One of the interesting things that's going to happen next year is Northwest Christian will drop down to the 1B classification, and this will be a regular thing. I assume that Northwest Christian will get into that same SeaTac league that John Paul is in, so that will make all of their matchups in every sport doubly interesting because they will be, you know, we jokingly throw the term derby around, but, you know, those local rivalries are pretty intense. The three other Lacey schools that go at it, North Thurston, Timberline, and River Ridge, they definitely have a dislike for each other. And I don't know if you want to say dislike, but, you know, they love to beat each other. Let's put it that
way. Sure.
And I'm sure that's going to build up over the years when Northwest Christian and John Paul are in the same bracket. So kind of nice that they split that series so they each got something to go into the offseason happy about. Northwest finished up 3-12. And in that loss to JP2 the other day, Joseph Meyer, Cooper Walker, and Caleb Cho got the only Wolverine hits.
Okay.
And let's see. In the track and field realm, it was all the Ingrams in the Pacific League meet. Asher won the boys 1600 and 3200, and Madison Ingram won the same two events for the girls. Wolverines finished sixth place among both boys and girls. And not terribly a surprise, they have stressed primarily distance running over the years. So they'll get a few field event people and so forth, but they're not really set up to have a high finish among the teams. Today they will have the District 4 2B meet, and that will be at WF West Track in Chehalis beginning at 3.
Okay, and if you're in the neighborhood, you can go and see the Rainier girls play. They won Wednesday, which gives them an afternoon matchup, interestingly, against the Fork Spartans at Fort Borst Park in Lewis County.
Yeah, let's hope so. That game was supposed to be Wednesday, and it got rained out that day, got rained out yesterday, so they're going to try to get that whole tournament done tomorrow and or today and Saturday, so we'll see what happens. But they did, Rainier did get an opening win in the district playoffs, 6-2 over Stevenson on Monday as pitcher Bailey Elwell, who was the Central League co-MVP this year, struck out 16, and Madison Mounts clouded a two-run homer in that game. And as we said, their next game was delayed a little bit. We'll see what happens when they finally get it played. Other softball news for Rainier. Coach Kyle Greenwood was named the Coach of the Year in the Central League. So good honor for him. And also the, as I mentioned, the pitcher Bailey Elwell, who got co-MVP. So some honors for Rainier.
Very good.
Yep, track and field. The Mountaineers hosted the Central League meet, and the boys won it. And the girls finished second. So good effort by Rainier that afternoon. Jeremiah Nubby won both the shot put and the discus. He finished second in the javelin. Dylan Davis is an interesting athlete. He won the 1,600 meters, but he also qualified in the 800 and the pole vault. Don't see a lot of middle distance guys that can also do the pole vault. So really interesting kid. I haven't seen him in person, but talk a lot about Jeremiah. But Dylan Davis must be an interesting athlete to watch as well. Thomas Ronnie won the triple jump in a PR of 42.1. He also qualified for state in the long jump. And for the qualified for districts in the long jump. And for the girls, Selena Niemi won the 1600. She was second in the 800. Autumn Kenny won the shot put. And Acacia Murphy qualified in both the 200 meters and high jump. And that's for today's 2B district meet that I mentioned will be at WF West.
All right, moving up to 1A, Tenino Beavers. And if I read it right, both the boys and the girls had a victory since you and I talked last.
They did. The baseball team finished 13-9. They had a narrow 8-7 loss to Kingsway Christian that knocked them out of the District 4 tournament. Cody Strawn went 2-for-3 in the loss, drove in 3 runs. In softball, Tenino finished 2-18, losing to Montesano. Then they beat 3A Timberline on Senior Day, and 3A playoff team Timberline at that. Kayla Feltis, Courtney Backman, and Juliana Lukin each had 3 hits in the 11-2 win over the Blazers. Emily Baxter got the win. She struck out 18 and gave up just 2 hits. Not to make excuses for Timberline, but one reason that they weren't closer is that on their own pitching staff, they saved their one ace pitcher, Jasmine Polanco, and kind of had a bullpen day with 4 of their other pitchers who, when they have been on the mound this year, have not been very effective ever. So not surprising when the Blazers went with their other pitchers that they would not fare as well as they do when they throw their ace out there. So
probably a good idea, though.
Nonetheless, though, you look at Emily Baxter, who's a college-bound pitcher. She's headed for Division II Dominican of New York. You know, striking out 18 batters. That wasn't like the Blazers were exactly racking the ball. So they did not come through on offense either. So good win for Tenino to close it out. Good win for Emily to close her career on. So good to see that. And track and field, they had their district meet yesterday. So we're going to talk about people who qualified for state. The Beavers 4x100 relay team of Blaine Schott, Salvador Ontiveros, Gavin Watson, and Dylan Spicer came in second. And I think there are 3, I'm off the assumption that there are 3 qualifiers allocated out of District 4 to the 1A state meet, so they would make it in. And Watson had a shot put of PR'd at 44.5. That should earn him a trip to state, how about? As did Trinity Tafoya's shot put for the girls. And that, of course, we mentioned will be out at Eastern Washington. Some of the sports we have not been able to get as much on this for most of the season. We're a little bit more publicized this week. And we were able to learn that the Beavers multi-sport star Megan Letts added the District 4 tennis singles title to her soccer and basketball achievements. So that's the news from Tenino.
All right, very good. And that is our first segment this morning. Don't go away. We'll be right back with 2A baseball, fast pitch, and more. In our next segment, we're going to hear from Tumwater boys coach Lyle Overbay. It's his first time coaching a team to state. Later in the show, we've got Olympia coach Derek Walden talked with Dave about the Bears and their future here. They're going to look for to win a couple of games tomorrow. So there's lots more to come. Don't go away. You're listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's original KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
Get ready for gridlock on 162 westbound in PL up near Pioneer. Scattered traffic begins at Federal Way on 99 northbound just before 336th Street. Accident cleared in Booney Lake on 410 eastbound as you approach 214th Avenue. Your drive is 20 minutes on I-5 northbound between 405 and 520. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Sponsored by KFC. Sharing sides is good. Getting enough so you don't have to, that's finger-licking good. Choose three large KFC sides, like secret recipe fries or creamy mac and cheese with 8 pieces of tenders or fried chicken when you get KFC's Side Lover's Meal. Order now on the KFC app. Prices of participation may vary.
This isn't your regular cola, so this isn't your regular cola ad. This is Nitro Pepsi, the first cola ever infused with nitrogen. Think an infusion of smaller bubbles for a cola that's got a lighter, smoother texture. And don't get me started on the pour. We're talking turn the can completely upside down and watch as those bubbles cascade into the glass to create a frothy, luxurious foam topping. This is cola like you've never had it before. Nitro Pepsi. Smooth, creamy, delicious.
Hanson Kia is excited to introduce the all-new 2023 Kia Sportage, now available with multi-terrain all-wheel drive, Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant voice control integration, standard emergency braking technology, best-in-class warranty, and assembled right here in America. The all-new 2023 Kia Sportage is perfect for your family road trips. Where will your Kia take you? Find yours at Hanson Kia in the Olympia Auto Mall at HansonKia.com.
Sale price of plus tax and license non negotiable, $150 documentary service fee, 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. See dealer for details.
Is your first step in the morning painful? At the end of the workday, are your aching feet the only thing on your mind? At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, our orthotics are specially made devices designed to support and comfort your feet. Our doctors use orthotics to treat all kinds of foot and heel pain. If you have pain, make an appointment with a specialist here today. In foot and heel pain, call 360-754-FEET.
Helping you put your best foot forward. Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates.
Join us for a groovy time at Washington Center, Saturday, May 21st. It's 60s Rock, a benefit show for the Olympia Union Gospel Missions No-Fee Dental Clinic. See some of your favorite dentists rocking out to the 60s, accompanied by the Olympia Jazz Senators and more. 60s Rock, May 21st. Get your tickets for this far-out night at the Washington Center or online at washingtoncenter.org. That's washingtoncenter.org. 60s Rock, May 21st.
Can you dig it?
What if you could be a part of something bigger than yourself? Something meaningful. Something that's helped shape the lives of men for over 300 years. What if you could transform not just your own purpose, but your entire community? As the leading fraternal organization in the world, we unite men of good character who share a belief in the brotherhood of mankind. More than a man, a Mason. Visit Freemason-WA.org.
Sponsored by the Grand Lodge of Washington and aired in cooperation with the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Wrong button again. All right. Hey, we are back. It is The Baseline on 95.3 KGY, and you are with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall, on Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show. Thanks to sponsors like McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool appliances that'll make your life easier. Find McKinney's Appliance on Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. Also, Choice Regional Health Network. They are your partner for community health and services. And we're up to 2A and Shelton High Climbers. The boys had some action.
Yeah, they're still alive. They had a great baseball season going on still. They're 17-6. They came in third in the District 4 tournament by outslugging host Ridgefield 12-11 in the third place game last Saturday. And Cole Schlender went 3-for-5 with 4 RBIs. Well, 5 players, Wyatt Wagner, Tobin Dudley, Tyler Anderson, I guess that's 4 players, and Cannon Hudson had 2 hits each. And Shelton will now travel out to Yakima to meet Ellensburg in a state regional loser out game on Davis High's field tomorrow at 1 p.m. And the winner will meet either Enumclaw or Linden later on Saturday at Davis.
And Ellensburg is, I think, the number 3 team, if I see
you
right.
They're pretty highly seeded. So Shelton came in behind Tumwater and WF West in their league, but they certainly have been at least a quality team to make it all the way to state. So good job for them. Not too many of the teams at Shelton this year have fared well in the postseason, but the baseball team definitely is on a roll here.
That is good news. And the girls also got some action, is that right?
Yep, they're done. They had a 16-4 loss to Rochester last Friday that dropped them to 5-16 on the year. In that loss, Allison Baumgart had 2 hits, and Kayla Zembas hit a double. So a couple of bright spots there. Softball, the Climbers finished 4th in the boys and 5th in the girls at the 2AFCO championship meet in Centralia. And for the boys, Jacob Miller was 2nd in the 1600, 3rd in the 32. Mario Boxley was 2nd in the discus. And Caden Pearson qualified for today's district meet, which will be at Shelton, with 3rd place finishes in the 100 and 200.
All right, very good. Rochester Warriors, the boys played.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they didn't play.
No, they've been done for a while.
All right.
Yeah, they had that play-in game, and they lost last week. So, but it was the girls who beat R.A. Long 7-4, but then lost to Tumwater 9-3 in the District 4 tournament. The Tumwater game yesterday in Chehalis drops them to 15-5 and out of the they're not out at all. Let me correct myself on that. Macy Fluish had 2 hits and 2 RBIs. Lanya Demers got the win with a strong 5 innings of relief in the victory over R.A. Long. And Demers also got 2 hits and 2 RBIs in the loss to Tumwater. And they will be playing Aberdeen today, and whoever wins will be considered tied for 3rd. And I assume we'll move on to the regionals.
Okay, very good. How about track?
Yeah, there's some track and field news and a little bit of postseason soccer talk to add here. In the conference meet, Talon Betts won the 100 in a PR of 11.11, and that is the 9th best mark statewide in 2A this year. And he's also 9th best in the 200 as he ran another PR of 22.83 in the league meet. For the girls in the league meet, Emily Weddle won the shot put. And, of course, the districts, as we said, are at Shelton today. A little news away from the field on soccer. The Warriors' Alexis Castillo Corona was named 2AFCO Boys Soccer Offensive Player of the Year. So a nice honor for one of the Warriors.
Yeah, yes, it is. Up to Black Hills Wolves, we're pretty much done, except for news from the track, maybe.
That is correct. They were 3rd in the boys and 4th in the girls at the EVCO meet, so not too bad. Austin Imsland won the shot put, while I'm just going to rattle off some names here. Daniel Robertson, Aiden Roderick, Jerron Griffin, and Travis Carson all finished 2nd in their events. Carson had a PR of 20. Feet, 4¾ inches in the long jump. On the girls' side, Lily Kincaid was 2nd in the 800 and 3rd in the high jump. And Olivia Hesaw was 2nd in both hurdle races. Carmen Williams, 2nd in the discus. And Jessica Bender, 2nd in the long jump.
All right. That brings us to Tumwater, where the boys advanced to regionals despite a loss to Columbia River. They're looking for 2 wins tomorrow, right?
They are. They're ranked number 7 right now in the RPI. They're 17-6. That championship loss to Columbia River was by the score of 5-2. They had a 2-for-3 day from Braden Oram and an RBI from Grayson Reveal. With one of their big three pitchers, though, Blake Smith, sidelined by an injury, the T-Birds had to go a little more deeply into their bullpen against the Rapids. Still not a terrible amount of runs scored, but they didn't have Blake to throw, which is also going to come into play tomorrow in the state tournament when they will only have their two of their top three ready to go. That game tomorrow will be 1 p.m. against Shadle Park at WF West's Field. 2AF Co Player of the Year Ryan Orr is bound for Washington State. Will get the start, and they will have 6'7" Jordan Hansen also available either to come in relief against Shadle or perhaps pitch against either Fife or Ephrata if the T-Birds manage to win their first game. So a little bit light on pitching, but still one of the best teams around and a good chance to perhaps get through and be in the Final Four for state.
All right, that'll be exciting. And you did get a chance to talk to Coach Lyle Overbay. Here is that conversation.
What, if anything, do you know about Shadle Park? Or is it more a matter of you just playing your game and hoping for the best in the postseason?
Well, I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, we've there's some kind of reports that we've got from different people. I mean, but it sounds like they've got, a lefty that is going to start. That's kind of the biggest thing is like, hey, what kind of pitcher, starting pitcher are they going to have just to kind of help out prepare? So we're preparing for the lefty. So hopefully they throw the lefty. I think if we prepare for that and then, you know, we faced a lot of righties. So it's not like we're doing that. It's just more of just kind of seeing it from the other side a little bit. And they've seen lefties too, because I'm a lefty and they hit me, you know, during BPs. So it's not like we're really doing a whole lot on that. But, and then it just comes down to, yes, playing our game. I mean, we're obviously got, really good pitching and it's just a matter of them going out and throwing strikes and kind of keeping us in that game. I mean, they do when they throw strikes and when they get into big situations or something like that, they're power pitchers and they can strike out guys, which helps if you need a strikeout. But on the other hand, sometimes it runs the pitch count up. So it's good and bad. But I just feel like if we don't try to do too much, I think we're going to be a pretty good team and be hard to beat.
And who will get the start in the first game?
Ryan will. Ryan Orr. So he's been our guy, and I mean we've like I said it, we can put anybody out there of the two. I mean Blake ended up hurting himself, so he's out, which kind of hurts a little bit. But he wanted it more than anybody. I think. To play in the postseason and bring that championship to Tumwater. And yeah, it's unfortunate that that happened, because I just felt like he was going to do everything and anything. And but again, you got Jordan Hansen that can come in. I mean, I've got my boy that can come in and throw strikes. So a lot of options, but it does start with Ryan, and he sets the tone real well and gets guys fired up. And so it's kind of an easy decision there.
If you win the game against Shadle, would Jordan start the next game?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, obviously, you got to win the first one. So if Jordan is needed in the first game, we'll do everything and anything to win that ball game. I mean, obviously, we have some options as well besides Jordan. But, again, we've got to win that first game, and we will do everything and anything. So Jordan is on the table for game two, but if they need him in game one, we'll throw him. So just I always say anything can happen, you know, but you can't plan ahead if you don't win the first one.
What have you learned about your team over the course of the season that gives you a good feeling going into the state?
The biggest thing, I think, is they played well together. They played well under pressure a little bit. I mean, obviously sometimes our hitters and that kind of rely on our dominant pitching, and they sometimes get out of their game plan and try to hit a home run, and you know, just because we're up a couple runs. I think the biggest thing is and the fact that they are a little bit behind as far as the game situations. I mean, these guys have you don't want to blame anything, but it's everybody a part of it. And I think a lot of the COVID and being shut down and not having that game experience, and everybody's dealing with it anyways, but just some game situations that they weren't aware of. And they've really come along, and I've always told them, like, hey, the little things are going to make a big difference, because we're going to be in every ball game because we've got really good pitching. So those things are going to be big. So I think they've taken to heart to it and really zoned in on those. That was the biggest thing, I think, was just, for them to learn and on the fly too. I mean, we didn't, again, everybody had to deal with it too, but we just didn't get outside very often, so we never really got to go through those situations.
Last question, kind of more of yours, from your perspective. Obviously, over the years, you played in a lot of big high school, college, and even major league games. How is it coaching for the first time in the state tournament?
For me, I don't want to be like, oh man, I wish I would have done this. Or, you know, the more prepared that I feel like I am, I can give them the information and, you know, whether it works out or not. But I mean, I was asking my boy, I'm like, hey, are you nervous? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh, well, I am. I mean, these guys have worked so hard to get to this point. And, for me personally, I don't want to screw anything up. I want to just, hey, you guys go do your thing and don't let me get in the middle of it, because you guys do really good when I stay out of it. So that's the biggest thing for me is just making sure that they're prepared, and then I trust them, you know, to go out and do their thing. Because if they go out and do their thing, they're going to be hard to beat.
All right, well, let's hope it all goes well, and Tumwater wins a couple games on Saturday, so... Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, you bet.
Coach Lyle Overbay of the Tumwater boys baseball team. And Dave, it was interesting to hear him admit to being nervous about this.
Yeah, it's also interesting that he said pretty much the same thing. If you remember last week, we talked to Mark Rubidoux, the retiring Timberline coach, and he mentioned that some of the more memorable games were the ones where he thought he screwed up and made wrong decisions.
Right.
And here's another coach worried about the same thing, you know, going into the big game. But yeah, I mean, I think over the years I've often found that with people who've been in the highest level of their sport and came back down to coach. And of course, Lyle played 14 seasons in the major leagues. That's a exceptionally long career, really. So he's been in some big ballparks in front of some big crowds and, you know, had some pressure moments, but it does not matter when you get back down and you're in the dugout coaching a bunch of high school kids trying to win. The nerves come back, you know, that's what you're doing now, right? Yeah. So that's where the nerves can be there. So hopefully things will go well for the T-Birds. Should mention though, on, Coach Overbay's behalf, he shouldn't be too worried. He was the coach of the year this year in the 2A EVCO, so apparently he knows what he's doing.
Apparently he does. On the girls' side, they're also doing pretty well. They opened districts with Hawkinson yesterday. They were looking to win two in a row. Dave, what happened?
Yeah, they got a couple of wins this week in that district tournament. They're number four in the state. They're 19-1. They have been, you know, powering past people. The Hawkinson game was a tough one. They only won it 7-6, but then they came back and pounded Rochester 9-3 to keep moving forward. Against the Warriors, Ella Ferguson scattered 5 hits and struck out 6. Allie Waltermeyer went 3-for-3 and drove in 3 runs, scored 2 more. And Jalen Manriquez doubled twice for the Birds, and they will meet WF West for the championship today at 6 p.m. Both of those teams already clinching berths into next week's state tournament, though. So just a district championship game for the pure honor of winning the district.
All right. And soccer, if I see right, the boys fell to Columbia River but advanced to state. They beat Pullman Tuesday and play again tomorrow.
That's a good assessment there. And in the 2-1 win over Pullman, which, was, by the way, was all the way out there on the east side.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they had to go out there, and they pulled off the victory. As 2A EVCO Player of the Year, Zach Schmidt, had a first-half goal for Tumwater, and they held the Greyhounds to 2.5 goals under their season average of 3.5. So they had some pretty strong defense. And rumor has it, Adam Almobdi and Pierce Yates were leading that defense. Wasn't at the game, but that's what I've heard. And after Pullman equalized the game, bringing it to 1-1, they eventually handed it over to Tumwater with an own goal barely a minute before the game would have ended and overtime would have commenced. So it's got to be a few Greyhounds walking around campus kicking themselves.
Ouch.
This week after an own goal knocked them out. The T-Birds advanced to play Burlington Edison. That game will be tomorrow at Anacortes High School at 1 o'clock. So the Birds getting to fly all over the state.
Play some miles. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, should they manage...
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, so go ahead.
Yeah, should they manage to emerge triumphant over Burlington, they will be at home for the Final Four at Tumwater District Stadium next week. That tournament will be there regardless of the T-Birds make it or not. So people who are fans of high school soccer, mark that down. You'll have the 2A state tournament right here in town.
Yeah, that's fun. How about track?
Track, all kinds of stuff happening for the T-Birds. They're pretty good. Did I put down where they're finished? Yeah, they won both the boys and girls championships of the 2A Evergreen Conference meet. Seth Weller won the boys 300 hurdles. He was second in the 110 high hurdles. Makai Odoms won the long jump, was second in the triple jump. Reese Howell won the 400 and also qualified for districts in the 8. See if I can keep my breath here. The T-Birds 4x100 relay team of Alexander Eichert, Weller, Adam Overbay, and Makai Odoms also won. And for the girls, Ava Jones won both the 100 and 200. Alyssa Duncan won three events, including the 100 hurdles and a PR of 15.33. which ranks her second in the state in 2A. She also won the long jump and triple jump. And Annabelle Clapp won the 400. She also qualified in the 100. Avery Coker won the pole vault. And the T-Birds swept all three girls' relays with Mariah Jett, Duncan, Natalie Sumrock, Reese Hereford, Jones, and Clapp, all running at least one leg of a race. And as we mentioned, the district meet is today in Shelton. Got a little bit of golf news from the T-Birds as well. Their Lily McCauley won the District 4 championship earlier this week in Longview. And she'll also, just as we talked about with soccer, she'll be close to home for the State 2A championships, which will take place at Tumwater Valley Golf Course, one of several state tourneys to be played here in Thurston County. And we've talked about that in relationship to the Thurston and Beyond Sports Commission. They were able to help land four of those levels, four classifications out of the six to be played in Thurston County. So a couple of motel rooms sold via those tournaments.
Yeah, sure. I would think so. All right.
So that actually is that for Tumwater.
Okay, very good. And that is that for that segment of the Baseline. We have lots coming up. Next, we're going to begin our look at 3A. Later, Olympia's boys coach Derek Weldon talks with Dave about the Bears and their move into the state tournament for baseball. But first, look at traffic, weather, and a word for sponsors serving the community for 100 years and counting. You are listening to the Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Get ready for gridlock on 162 westbound and PL up near Pioneer. Scattered traffic begins at Federal Way on 99 northbound just before 336th Street. Accident cleared in Boone Lake on 410 eastbound as you approach 214th Avenue. Your drive is 20 minutes on I-5 northbound between 405 and 520. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Pinal Beach Resort and Casino was just named Best Players Club in the state. They have unmatched daily benefits for players, free hotel stays, and more. Plus, the casino is 100% smoke-free. It's Pinal Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shore. Winners happen here.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as your pain and disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years. A firm like Putnam, Lee, Potvin, Daly, Catherine Potvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Federko. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam, Lee, Potvin, Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
Sports fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia. Online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friends, Spin Tees on Facebook.
Enjoy a day of sunshine with highs in the mid-60s, clear tonight with lows in the low 40s, and plenty of sunshine tomorrow with highs in the upper 60s.
And welcome back to The Baseline, Thurston County's high school sports roundup show. You are with Dave and Noel, thanks to sponsors like Cut Rate Auto Parts. If you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has your car's part. Also, L&E Bottling, our local Pepsi distributor, proud to support high school sports coverage right here on KGY. And we are up to 3A classification and River Ridge, where I think the girls are still playing. Is that right?
Well, they were.
Okay, yeah, they were.
Sweet. Yeah, they softball fell to 5-16. They lost their season finale 9-5 up at Central Kitsap. And other than that, though, there's just some track and field. The Hawks were towards the bottom. They were 8th in the girls and 9th in the boys at the South Sound Conference meet. And if you wonder, how is it possible that an 8-team league, you could come in 9th? It's because of the wild card 3A school, Bainbridge, which plays, I believe, in a 2A league. So when you get into postseason, they always have to do things to accommodate Bainbridge, and they throw them into the 3A South Sound Conference track meet and make it kind of a sub-district. So that's why the Hawks came in 9th.
Okay.
And they did have one winner, though. Taylor Dillon won the girls' discus. And as we go through these 3A schools, the bi-district meet, which is being held at French Field in Kent, was split between Wednesday and today. No action yesterday, but so half of the events were run between the 3A and 4A schools on Wednesday. The rest will be concluding today, so kind of a blend between those results and a couple of people who did well in the league meet will be what you'll be hearing coming up here. But that's a big meet, that bi-district meet. I don't know if they still call it this, but it used to be called the West Side Classic because there are so many 3A schools in districts 3 and 4 that it really is a difficult meet. You get 7 qualifiers out of it, but it is a pretty impressive track meet to be sure.
All right, and on to North Thurston. Tell us what's going on with the Rams.
Rams have some stuff going on in different sports. They finished 11-12 in baseball. They had a couple of district tournament losses to Kelso and Gig Harbor last weekend, and in that elimination game, against the Tides, which of course is another South Sound Conference school. Jalen Kennedy and Tucker Kempf each had two hits, while pitcher Caden Melzer took the loss. Despite holding Gig Harbor to two hits and a walk while striking out 13, that's a tough one to lose right there. And speaking of tough ones to lose, despite everything Caden did this year, which was a lot, he was a very good pitcher for them. They had someone even better, and Brett Haggerty was voted the 3A South Sound Conference Pitcher of the Year coming from the Rams. So good pitching for them. I guess their hitting wasn't up to what they had on the mound, or they'd have gone a little bit farther. Softball, they finished 5-13 after a loss to Timberline last Friday. And in track and field, Isaac Akiyama needed a PR of 424.74 to snag the seventh and final spot to state from the 1,600 meters out of the bi-district meet. And Russell Scholl qualified in the discus. And we have some golf news from North Thurston. They made it as a team to the state meet. They finished fourth in the districts. They will not be fortunate enough to stay local, though. They're going to have to go out to Liberty Lake in Spokane for their state meet. And the members of that team are Ashlyn Sam, Lizzie Clemens, Kendall Willie, Ryan Hill, and Kaylin Cavall, that came in fourth and qualified for state from North Thurston Golf.
All right. And on to Timberline, where the girls, you mentioned their win over North Thurston, and then they opened a district play against my alma mater, that movie star school stadium.
Yeah, and it was not the Tigers' day, as Timberline pretty much clobbered them. They pretty much clobbered Lakes as well. So they will advance to a winner-to-state game Saturday against Heritage at the Rack. That game will be played at 12 noon. In the opener against Stadium, Jasmine Polanco, who we talked about earlier in reference to their game that she did not pitch against Tenino, when she does pitch, she tends to do pretty well. She held Stadium to one hit and struck out 13. Jorge Hernandez went 3-for-4 to drive in four runs in that one. And against Lakes, the Blazers also breezed 13-3 as Tori Trotter went 3-for-5. She drove in three runs and scored three more. And Polanco struck out 12 more batters to get the win in that game and also hit a home run. So, Good stuff on the field for them. They also had a bit of news off the field, as infielder Mackenzie Camus, who hit 340 so far to help the Blazers get to the point of the playoffs where they are. She signed her letter of intent to play softball at Olympic Community College next season.
All right, very good. Anything from track for them?
Is there anything from track? Timberline, usually pretty good at track. Same difference this year. That bi-district meet, the Wednesday action, they had some stuff going on. Vincent Sabato just did qualify for state with a seventh-place finish in the 100. Billy Ray Robertson and Emmett Douglas made it in both the wheelchair 100 and 400. And the 4x100 relay team of Anthony Mondesir, Gage Pedro, Terrell Hunter, and Sabato will compete at state. In the field events, Pedro moves on in the shot put and the triple jump, where teammate Jackson Brown will join him. And for the girls, Destiny Robertson was a state qualifying third in the 100 meters. And she bears watching in today's 200 meters, as does Peyton Willard in the boys' 300 hurdles. And Abigail Pedro in the girls' shot and discus. All those have yet to be competed in the district meet. Three of Timberline's golfers qualified for next week's state meet out in Spokane as individuals, and those were Maddie Deppner, Ashlyn Wynn, and Cambry Deegan.
Okay, very good. And out on the prairie, the Yelm girls, did they play Auburn Riverside, or is that coming up?
Nope, they played Auburn Riverside, and it was interesting game, to say the least. You don't see this often in postseason softball, but the Tornadoes got off to a big lead and then had to hold off the Ravens to win 18-16.
Wow.
And they got a blockbuster performance from third baseman Ashlyn Haven. who went 3-for-4 with 2 home runs and 5 RBI, scored 4 times herself. Elena Castanon went 5-for-5 and homered, while Leah Hicks hit a crucial 7th-inning homer, and leadoff hitter Alyssa DeWeese tripled and singled twice to drive in 4 runs and score twice. And that victory guaranteed Yelman a slot in the state tournament next week, which will also be played at the rack, and a slot in a district semifinal game tomorrow at noon against second-seeded Bonnie Lake. Bonnie Lake, a former state champion that does, I guess they're the Yelm of Eastern Pierce County. They're always in this thing and always doing well. So that's going to be a matchup of 2 traditionally strong teams tomorrow at noon. And they had some results in the bi-district track meet as well. Tyler Ronquillo and Jordan Lasher both qualified for state in the 110 hurdles. As Ronquillo posted a PR of 14.62, and Lasher also qualified in the pole vault. And Braden Platt, and we keep talking about Braden Platt, he was a star in football, made the semifinals in wrestling, and he exploded for a new state-leading PR of 58 feet 2 and a quarter inch in the shot put. That is way out
there. That's a ways, yes.
Yeah, that is far ahead of anyone else. He's, you know, we talk all the time about Jeremiah Nubby, who leads, who is second in the nation now, I guess, in the discus, and leads in the hammer. But Braden consistently beats him in the shot put. So that shows you where Braden is on the track as well as in his other sports. He also qualified in the discus, which was won by teammate Isaiah Patterson in a PR of 146 feet 1 inch. Gervonta Smith won the triple jump in 44 feet 1 inch. And Isabel Wright-Claron will move on in the triple jump for girls. And tornadoes to watch on today's second day include Ronquillo in the long jump, Platt in the javelin, and Smith in the high jump.
All right. Very good. And that's going to do it for that segment right there. Don't go away. We still have more in our next segment, Capital and 4A Olympia. Plus, we'll hear from Olympia's boys coach, Derek Weldon. Bears are ranked number 1 heading into the 4A state tournament, which begins tomorrow. But first, traffic, weather, CBS Eye on Travel. Don't go away. You're listening to 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
Get ready for gridlock on 162 westbound APL up near Pioneer. Scattered traffic begins at Federal Way on 99 northbound just before 336th Street. Accident cleared in Boonie Lake on 410 eastbound as you approach 214th Avenue. Your drive is 20 minutes on I-5 northbound between 405 and 520. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Sponsored by Indeed.com. Finding a great hire can be a challenge. That's why there's Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Tony and Corey here with the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. Hey, Tony, you got some tips on how to get your house ready for summer?
Yeah, start by making a list. Then knock the easiest ones out first. Set realistic goals. And finally, don't be a perfectionist.
Well, you've never been accused of that.
Ouch. Tune in this weekend. You'll definitely get a laugh and you'll likely get some good advice, but only if you listen.
Weekend Warriors, Sunday morning at 7 on Olympia's KGY.
Hello, Lacey. Your new coastal store is opening soon. We have all the details.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, we're just what the country needs.
After months of construction and years of planning, the Lacey Coastal Store is nearly ready to open in the old Shopko building. Right now, we're stocking the coastal shelves with thousands of bags of dog and livestock feed, nearly 11,000 pair of boots and other footwear, 25,000 pair of pants, as well as sporting goods, camping gear, workwear, gardening supplies, tack, fencing, and more. To help get the store ready and to serve our customers when we're open, Coastal is hiring locals. Apply online at CoastalCountry.com. In the meantime, shop at nearby Coastal or online at CoastalCountry.com. To everyone in Lacey, we look forward to serving you.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, we're just what the country needs.
Look for the Lacey Coastal Store at 5500 Martin Way East, opening soon.
The deadline for real ID is May 2023. I wonder what I'll need to fly.
I'm about to hop onto a plane, get back to the ordinary. I might be a bear, but I still gotta get my bearings. Should I have been preparing? Can I still use my ID? I've been in hibernation, so let's see. A standard ID won't fly at the security gate. Now that's a mistake that I'm determined never to make. That ID is just fine for a car or a train, but here's a list of what I'll need whenever taking a plane. An enhanced driver's license or enhanced ID. Green card, military, or VHIC. Passport, border crossing card, or tribe ID. It's quite likely I've already got what I need. The list goes on, and I can find it all online. Hit the DOL early and skip the long lines. I got plenty of time. Stress-free is what I'm gonna be. Nothing's gonna change until May 2023. Get ready at ID2023WA.com.
You got junk on your property that you want to get rid of this spring? Well, spring is here. Get rid of that junk. Call your local experts in junk removal. Call G3 Junk Removal. That's G3 Junk Removal. They'll give you an estimate at no charge. Hey, it doesn't hurt to get a free estimate on removing junk from your property. Get in touch with G3 Junk Removal. They're the experts with more junk in their trunk because they're helping you get it off your property. Get that ish out of here with G3 Junk Removal. Online at G3JunkRemovalWA.com.
I'm Greg Seals of Crane's Total Office. We're proud to be local and proud to be the official office supply store of KGY. When you see our vans running around the South Sound, we're having fun delivering to you and your neighbors. If you're working from home or need supplies for your office, there is no order too big or too small. From notepads to ink cartridges, any type of office supply you may need, go to cranesoffice.com. Keeping it local since 1985.
Crane's Total Office is the official office supply store of 95.3 KGY.
Summer is here, so let's kickstart it together at Lowe's. Shop our Memorial Day savings, where you'll find everything you need under the sun. Protect your soil with a bag of our premium color mulch at a new low price of $2.98. Keep your yard in summer shape and save $20 with your choice of Craftsman blower or trimmer. Was $119, now just $99. The savings are heating up this Memorial Day at Lowe's. Home to any budget, home to any possibility. Valid 519 through 525. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, y'all, this is your girl, Cheryl Underwood, and I want to tell you something. My digestive system used to make me feel sluggish, but those days are over. Now I feel great. That's because I increased my fiber intake with the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge, and I'm still hooked. I just took Metamucil every day for 14 days, and it's really that easy. Metamucil traps and removes the waste that weighs you down, so you feel lighter and more energetic. Now I never want to go back to that heavy feeling. Are you ready for the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge? For a coupon and daily support, sign up at Metamucil.com today.
The West Central Park Neighborhood Center seeks to create a community-centered, pedestrian and bike-friendly retail shopping and dining experience for the surrounding neighborhoods in West Olympia. The West Central Park Neighborhood salutes KGY on 100 years of serving the community.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment for my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute. We've all heard of, and most of us have experienced, jet lag. But which destinations are always the most fatigued? Researchers looked at working hours per year, to how many hours people were on their computers each day, and of course, their average sleep time. And the most sleep-deprived country in the world? It might surprise you. It's Singapore. Taking second and third place, Mexico and Brazil. Which other countries were in the top 10? The U.S. at number 4, followed by Japan, the United Kingdom, and New Zealand. Scoring much lower on the fatigue scale, Germany, France, and the Netherlands. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more. libertymutual.com.
Olympia's great.
KGY.
Let her go.
Welcome back to The Baseline once again with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall, and a big thank you to Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, who are celebrating 20 years of helping patients get up and get moving and maintain good health. You can find them online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees Prints. They do excellent work, printing and embroidery. Find Spin Tees online at spinteesprints.com. And Putnam Lead Potman Daily, taking the insult out of injury. They are premier workers' compensation and car accident attorneys. And we are up to the Capital City and the Capital Cougars. The boys are done, but I think the girls played.
They did. They had a season-ending loss to Gig Harbor to fall to 3-15 on the year. So not one of their better years, but that's why they say Whittle next year. So we'll see what they do then.
Yeah.
A lot of good track and field news, though, for the Cougars. Sean Jackson won the Bi-District Boys 400-meter title on Wednesday, and Braxton Clarity also qualified in the event. Dylan Jones moves on in the pole vault. And for the Cougar girls, Cora Landers was second in the 100 meters. She'll move on. Addison Harrington will go to state in the 400. Aubrey Harrington in the 1600. And Hannah Mall in the 100 hurdles, which she won in a PR of 14.69, and Autumn Rahali grabbed the final qualifying slot in that race. And Capital's 4x100 relay team of Maul, her twin sister Amanda, Landers, and Addison Harrington won. And their 4x2 quartet of Landers, Karina Greenlee, Lily Gune, Lucy Hemingway will also run at state. Cougars to watch on the second day, most predominantly the Mall sisters, of course. They're ranked 1 in 10 among juniors worldwide, and of course that makes them the nation's top two high school jumpers as well in the pole vault, and the 3A girls pole vault is today, so they are the ones to watch there.
All right, very good. And up to 4A, the Olympia Bears, the boys won the district tournament and go to regionals, and what an interesting name for a school they're going to play tomorrow.
If we can even pronounce
Chihuahua.
Yeah, I think it's Chihuahua, but they are 21-3 after that bi-district win, 8-4 over their 4A SPSL rival Puyallup last Saturday. Gives them a 2-1 edge in the season series thus far. I'm not sure if they can meet in state or not, but they're both there, of course. And the Bears scored all their runs early in that game and kind of coasted home. Junior Logan Shepard started the carnage with a 2-run second inning homer. And the Bears starting pitcher Tabor Fast, who is bound for Texas Tech next year, he went 2-for-3 and drove in a pair of runs. And on the mound, he made it into the fifth inning, striking out 7 before giving way to junior Sax Mattson. And Ole had beaten Curtis 3-1 in a morning semifinal. And as you mentioned, they will be playing, they're top seeded, and they will be playing Chihuahua, who is the 16 seed, in a 1 p.m. state regional opener tomorrow. And the winner will face either Camas or Issaquah later Saturday. And that is another event that is taking place locally right out at the RAC. So people can watch those games if they want to do so. Bears are doing well pretty much across the board. Their softball team, 16-4, entering today's bi-district playoff opener up in Kent. That'll be at noon against Decatur. No games since we last talked. Soccer did get knocked out. They lost 2-0 to Camas to get knocked out of the bi-district tournament and finish at 12-5-1. But another outstanding year for their soccer team. And I don't know if we want to apologize, but we really didn't pay enough attention to Bears soccer this year. So we'll have to see how well they do again next year, because that is a good program. And we never really did highlight them this year, which is probably a mistake on my part. So we'll do better on Bears soccer next time around. But
that's all right.
Track and field is...
Before we go on, we still have sure. we have Derek Weldon that you talked to, and we kind of passed Derek over Weldon. That.
Just kind of... I kind of just got babbling away here. Yeah, let's get back to that. That was a good interview yesterday.
So okay, and Tijuana, that's a Pasco school, so they're going to put the miles on tomorrow to come and play the Bears. Here is that interview.
What do you know about Tijuana, or are you just not worried about that and you're just going to play your game and go straight ahead?
Yeah, I mean, we could do a little bit of kind of, you know, scouting, but, you know, just have an idea for who we think we're going to see, so that we can kind of just game plan some of our stuff leading up to it and BP and whatnot, machine work and all that. But, I mean, the reality is, like, you know, you're always playing the game of baseball, right? So you got to go out, you got to execute pitches on the bump, you got to defend, and you got to put together quality at bat. So, you know, it doesn't really, you know, reality is it doesn't matter who you play. If, you know, you beat the game, you typically win the contest.
And who will get the start in the first game of Saturday, and how rested is your pitching staff in case you hopefully have to play twice?
Yeah, no, we're very deep. We got a lot of bullets. So Riley Hyder will go game one, and then to be determined after that, just based on arms, if guys are needed to finish game one and how that will impact, you know, game two. Bottom line, you know, we're playing to win one game at a time, so we'll do whatever we need to, you know. But we have, you know, with Tabor and with Sachs and with Hunter Stewart, and, you know, and then even behind that with, you know, Trace Pruitt, Gabe Downing, and Corbin Kramer, we have, you know, quite a bit of very capable arms.
You obviously knew from the beginning you'd have a pretty good team, but what have you learned over the course of the season that makes you confident heading into state?
Yeah, I mean, we got guys that love competing, that love playing together, that, you know, are selfless, that, you know, are, you know, very ambitious for how this year is going to turn out, and expectations for, you know, how we finish. And, you know, it feels like our guys are, you know, on a mission to accomplish something that's special. And so that's been fun to watch them kind of, you know, figure out, you know, who they are as a group and kind of what their purpose is.
I know you only have a few players left, but is there any championship DNA left from the 2009 state run, or is this just a whole new adventure you guys are on?
Yeah, so Ryland Hyder was the only player that was on that roster. And, yeah, so, you know, and losing that game that year and then, you know, really, or, you know, that 2020 and with COVID and everything, and last year, like, you know, it feels like we've been kind of pursuing this for quite some time. So it sure would be fun to head back across the mountain and try again.
All right, well, let's hope that happens. And thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us. And good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, that is Derek Weldon, the number one seed Olympia boys baseball coach, and yeah, we're looking forward to seeing what they do.
Yeah, I almost ran right by that interview, which was, I guess I was built up ahead of steam there talking about everything. But yeah, the Bears, you know, they're a loaded team. We talked about earlier in the season how many athletes they had try out for the team, how many they kept. They have, you know, a huge number of baseball players at their school, and so they can hope that top nine they send out there tomorrow is going to do well against Tijuana and send them on to the second round and hopefully to next weekend's Final Four. So we'll see what happens, but they have as good, obviously, as the top seed. They've got as good a chance as anybody.
All right, and now on to the track team.
Yeah, we can get to that. In track, they are doing the same thing that the 3A schools are doing. They're having the two-day bi-district meet split between Wednesday and today. And on Wednesday, Connor Johnson won the boys 400 title. And Kenyatta McNeese also qualified for state in the event. Ethan Coleman breezed to the 1600 title. He had a PR of 409.79. Not too shabby for a high school kid, so not bad at all for Ethan. Elliot Grant threw a PR 157.10 to qualify in the javelin. And Jonathan Holcomb's PR long jump of 22.2 and a half takes him to state. For the girls, Ava Wolin grabbed a spot in the 400, as did Caitlin Rigg in the 1600, and Claire Lee in the pole vault. And a bunch of boys would be worth watching on the second day. Coleman will run the 3200. That's probably his favorite event at the high school level. He's always talked about how he is eager to get to college where they have the 5,000 and the 10,000. So 3,200 as long as they go in Washington High School, and he'll be the one to watch there. Dane Boswell in the pole vault, Holcomb in the triple jump, and the boys 4x400 relay team, which consists of McNeese, Coleman, Parker Fouts, and Connor Johnson, and that is a very fast 4x4 team. On the girls' side of things, Samantha Christie has a shot in the 3,200. Lots of excitement in what you would call, I guess, the country club sports. Both golf and tennis have something going on for the Bears. So we'll run through that a little bit here as well. Boys golf, Ryan McCauley, Silas Guzlas, Cooper Smith, and Corey Fabricius. They will just drive a couple of miles from the campus to the boys' state tournament at Indian Summer, while Sanjana Chaslani, Riley Iverson, Grace Hong, Sydney Peterson, and Amelia Lorenzen will have to go a little bit farther to the girls' tournament, which will be out at Hawks Prairie. And in girls' tennis, singles players Christine Shang and Hadley Manista will join a doubles team of Ella Richards and Sarah Wilson in today's district tournament up in Kent.
All right, very good. What a show we have had today. Of course, so much going on as we get into this postseason play. We love our sponsors. Please support them if you get a chance. If you missed anything, you can find the podcast on KGYFM.com. Later today, if you're listening, Mr. Stein and Molly Gilmore bring Ole in a Can during the 3 o'clock hour. A look at some fun things going on in the area this week. Lacey Spring Fun Fair is back. Ole Shop and Dine and the Skyline Drive-In reopens with a double bill, no less. Don't miss Ole in a Can, 3 o'clock hour today. Thanks to Kevin the Brit Huffer, as always, for his help. And thank you for joining us for The Baseline. Be sure to catch us next Friday morning. Now the news, followed by the Friday workday kickoff. It's 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
You've been listening to The Baseline with Noel Wall and Olympian prep reporter Dave Weber.